holder. Berg.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Roy F. Berg, and I represent the petitioner in this next matter before you, Mr. Gavino Cruz Mahayo. Mr. Cruz is a native of Mexico who has lived in the United States for approximately 17 years. He is the father of three United States citizen children, Gabriela, who is 9, Frankie, who is 7, and Daniel, who is 4. He seeks your review of decisions of the Board of Immigration Appeals denying two motions to reconsider and his motion to reopen. The respondent concedes at page 2 of his brief that you have exclusive jurisdiction under Section 242A of the INA, that's 8 U.S.C. 1252, as amended by the Real ID Act, to review denied motions to reconsider and reopen. The respondent later contends you do not have jurisdiction to address the petitioner's claims. We respectfully disagree. The petitioner requests that you favorably exercise your discretion, your jurisdiction, rather, and grant his petition for review and remand the case to the Board of Immigration Appeals with directions that it be remanded to the Immigration Court.
So, would you summarize for us what you think the legal issues are that are raised in this petition for review?
Yes, Your Honor.
Petitions for review.
We are alleging that both Mr. Holmes and Mr. Miller, the two decisions, the board member decisions that we are seeking review here, did not give reasoned consideration to the violence in Mexico and how this violence would impact the petitioner's three United States citizen children.
So I don't understand why that isn't just a disagreement on the facts with the bottom line. They understand that Mr. Cruz Mahayo is making an argument about general conditions in Mexico. They are critical that he hasn't particularized them to himself in any way. I don't see how if they'd written a book about the conditions in Mexico, if the bottom line was still that Mr. Cruz Mahayo didn't show why it was particular to him, it would be any different from your case.
Your Honor, we also raised the issue of the Foster Jaramillo case, in which board member, the same board member that had denied our case, had granted reopening, and Molly Kendall Clark. And that case is virtually identical.
And there, with respect to Frausto Jaramillo, the board says, first of all, it was a non-precedential case. The circumstances were somewhat different, mostly DHS not opposing the motion. And so they just say, you know, we've come to a different conclusion here.
Your Honor,
Where in the Equal Protection Clause does it require the level of scrutiny that you seem to think is necessary for the board to be consistent? It seems to me that would be a very new rule of law indeed.
Well, Your Honor, it is our position that the two cases are very, very similar. You're correct. The only difference that I saw is that DHS did not bother to file an opposition for Mr. Foster Jaramillo's. So it was not what they had said, but the fact that they had not commented. Both of them are from Mexico. Both of them are the fathers of three United States citizen children.
But the board does defer. I mean, it's all in the executive branch, two different departments, we understand. But the board often defers to the DHS evaluation of whether somebody should receive cancellation or whatever other type of relief they're looking for.
Well, the immigration judge is within the Department of Justice. So it's the immigration judge.
The executive office, and we know how they... Mm-hmm.
So it's DHS is the one that brings the proceedings. Cancellation is granted by the Department of Justice through the immigration judge.
And I'm just saying the Department of Justice defers in many respects to its sister executive agency, the Department of Homeland Security, and might be inclined to do that. And if that's itself a rational distinction between these two cases, then that's the end of that, isn't it?
No, the Department of Homeland Security, Your Honor, is the one that commences proceedings. They file the notice to appear. The immigration judge is within
that.
The Department of Justice, as is the BIA.
I understand that. But they're like every prosecutor. If the prosecutor is going to consent to a null pros, you know, that's fine. I mean, people pay a great deal of attention. In sentencing, people pay attention to the prosecutor's recommendations. Not the judges are bound, but they pay attention.
In this case, we believe, and it's our belief, that Mr. Frosto Jaramillo's case is virtually identical, and it was at the same time, and it was by the same board member, Molly Kendall Clark, who in August dismissed Mr. Cruz's petition for review.
But and your then in position October, is she basically reopens. That the minute Frosto Jaramillo is decided, every single person in the United States who would prefer not to be removed to Mexico now by this parity of reasoning theory of yours is now entitled to stay here because conditions in Mexico are what they are. I mean, you can describe them as good, bad, or indifferent, but they're certainly the same. That's a constant. And so you at a stroke have changed our immigration policy vis-a-vis Mexico.
Well, the commonality is not just being from Mexico. The commonality is applying for cancellation of removal and being statutorily eligible for that, having 10 years in the country, being a person of good moral character, and having a qualifying relative. In this case, the qualifying relative was the same, 3 U.S. citizen children.
Right, and as you well know, there are a lot of people who are unlawfully in the United States who have U.S. citizen children. That's just a fact.
We're saying is that the adverse country conditions must be considered. The board said as much in matter of Racines.
But why is that not in complete contradiction to the law that says it's not just general adverse country conditions? You have to be specifically at some kind of risk.
Specifically at some kind of risk, I believe, is an asylum analysis, Your Honor.
Also cancellation.
Cancellation and the adverse country conditions, we would submit, the widespread violence will impact these 3 children.
Well, they'll impact everybody. The only theory of relief that doesn't require that is the Convention Against Torture, which is a different thing altogether. But there's no particular evidence here that either he or the children would be tortured.
Well, Your Honor, we've not submitted evidence that the children would be tortured. Our position is that there is evidence that the conditions in Mexico are violent, and they have changed since the time of the hearing. We believe we've submitted that promptly through the motion to reopen, and we pointed out how the board did reopen in another case. It was virtually identical.
Okay.
Your Honor, the people being deported now to Mexico are particularly vulnerable at this time. As the Tribune noted in an article on September 8th, that people now are being deported by the United States to a place called Tamaulipas, and there they are being targeted and being kidnapped, held for ransom, and many are being killed. We would submit, Your Honor, that in totality of the circumstances here, this petition for review should be granted. And we thank you. I'll reserve any remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Tolzer.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Rob Stalzer. I'm here on behalf of Respondent, the Attorney General. Your Honors, I urge you to dismiss this case for lack of jurisdiction because petitioner has not raised a legal or a constitutional question that the court could reach. Petitioner raised 2 arguments in front of you. He suggested first that the board did not give proper consideration to his evidence. There's no evidence of that below, and that's not a legal question. That's a factual question. He clearly disagrees with the board's conclusion. He doesn't suggest that the board applied the incorrect legal standard or anything. He simply suggests that the board should have come to a different conclusion, and that's something that Congress has stripped this court of jurisdiction to consider. As for his other argument, which relies heavily on the Equal Protection Clause, he suggests that this very broad classification, a Mexican father of 3 United States citizens, is sufficient to implicate the Equal Protection Clause. I submit to you, Your Honors, it isn't, that these 2 aliens were, in fact, distinguishable, and the board did it, right? Because the board, in petitioner's case, looked at his evidence and said, look, you actually do not qualify. We know it. We've looked at your evidence. We've considered it, and you don't qualify. Whereas in the other case, the other alien's case, they said, okay, in your case, we're going to let it reopen because you may, in fact, qualify.
But, you know, it's very troublesome, I mean, to see the board behaving in such a compartmentalized, I'll say, manner. Because in Frosto Jaramillo, yes, there was, I mean, a great big record, but it suggests that every time somebody from Mexico wants to obtain this kind of cancellation relief, you should just back up a truck, you know, with every bit of evidence, you know, from everyone from Human Rights Watch to the British government to the, UN Commissioner on Human Rights and on, and load the board up every single time with the same documents. Now, the board is an administrative agency. The board holds itself out as having some expertise in various countries, and it seems to me that if somebody points to evidence that we all know has been before the board, it's a little silly to say they don't have the evidence. And when the board looks like it's playing, you know, Wheel of Fortune, and, you know, one person gets the cancellation and the next person has an unlucky spin, it looks terrible. Now, maybe the board has some reason to distinguish based on DHS's position. Maybe it has some other reason, but it's highly unsatisfactory.
Well, Your Honor, in each case, the board is striving to look at the evidence on an individual basis, right?
But Mexico isn't a good country in Mr. Frausto Jaramillo, or in Mr. Cruz Moyajo's case, and a bad country. Mexico is what it is. There's Department of State evaluations. It's not changing for any given day or any given part of the country, depending on who filed the petition.
I agree, Your Honor. The crucial distinction, though, would be what those conditions, those bad conditions or indifferent conditions or good conditions, whatever they are, how they affect this particular petitioner and his children. Right, because that's what the board said. He said, we've looked at your violence evidence. We know it's violent, but you didn't present the evidence that said your children are going to face difficulties because of that violence. And that's the crucial link for cancellation. He has to show exceptional, extremely unusual hardship to his children. And that's a rational distinction between the two cases and why the board in one case, in addition to the Department of Homeland Security, of course, is also looking at that when it's deciding, is it going to oppose a case or not? And that may have also been a distinction between his case and the other aliens.
So the conversation makes me think that, although I certainly understand it's the government's position that there isn't a winning equal protection argument, perhaps there is, in fact, an equal protection argument. That would count under subpart capital D as a legal argument.
I'm not sure that's even the case, Your Honor, because we are under the Fifth Amendment due process clause.
No, we could be under regulations. We could be under all sorts of things. And there is an equal protection component, as you know, of the due process clause. We've known that ever since Bowling versus Sharp, so I don't think the government is disavowing that.
There is an equal protection component under the due process clause here, but the due process clause here does require a liberty interest, which we know that the petitioner in this case does not have for a discretionary application, for a discretionary motion. So I'm not actually sure that there is, in fact, a colorable constitutional claim here. Proceeding as if there is, though, as I said before, I don't believe they're actually similarly situated such that the clause would be implicated. Accordingly, I would urge your honors to dismiss the case for lack of jurisdiction. If you have no other questions, then I will rest on my brief.
Thank you,
Your Honors.
How much time? You have 2 minutes, Mr. Brewer.
Your Honor, very, very briefly, we submit that you do have jurisdiction. We believe that there is a question of law and a constitutional
claim. So where's the liberty interest? Whose liberty interest is it? I mean, I don't see how Mr. Cruz Mayajo has standing to assert the third-party interests of his children.
Well, we have asserted in our brief that the children are also impacted by this and that their right to due process was impacted
I'm just going to say that the Supreme Court has made it very clear that normally one has to assert one's own interests. There is a prudential standing doctrine that says you don't assert the interests of third parties. Now, maybe there's an exception to that here. I don't know, because it's his children or for some other reason, but I don't see where it's in the brief.
Well, we would ask that you consider their interests, Your Honor. If we did not raise it in the brief, perhaps we can do it in the supplemental brief if you would like. I'd be happy to do that.
That's not necessary.
In brief summation, Mr. Cruz's brother, Roberto, was before this court last week. Two members of this panel were heard the argument last Wednesday. And as we are doing in his case, we are also seeking prosecutorial discretion here in this case. There is a program that ICE has through which we can seek prosecutorial discretion, and we are still seeking that, and if we are successful, we'll notify the court immediately. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Berg. Thanks to both counsel. We move to the final.